Augustine argues that if you didn't have grace and you were trying to love God with your whole heart, mind, and strength the way you're supposed to, what you would end up doing is resenting it. Imagine that you've got this rule that says, you have to love me, and you don't really feel very loving, and you just got to work at it, and, well, you get kind of tired of it. You'd rather be doing something else. Maybe alcohol, or your physical loves on earth, or your wife or your husband is more attractive than this God that you've never seen yet. And you get tired of it. You'd rather be doing something else. Augustine proposes a kind of counterfactual test. Suppose that there were no command of God. Suppose God didn't give you this law that says, love me. What would you rather do? Right? Would you rather love God or rather do something else? If you'd rather be doing something else, if you would do something else, if you could only get away with it, then your love for God is not genuine. Genuine love for God is delight and gladness and joy and longing coming from the depths of your heart. You can't produce that just by choosing it. Right? Free will is not enough. Free will is part of it. But you need that falling in love, that delight. And that doesn't come just because you choose it. Right? You don't delight in something just because you choose to delight in it. It has to just kind of overcome you. Right? We know what it's like to fall in love. Or to hear a piece of music that, well, the last time you heard it fell on deaf ears. It didn't mean anything. This time, all of a sudden, you got chills up and down your spine. It's a gift. It just happens. You don't choose it. That's what love of God is like. That's why it's got to be grace. So the key task of faith, the key task of Christian belief, is to pray for grace. Because, of course, you can't pray without believing in the one you're praying to. And thus, by praying for grace, you receive grace. That strengthens you in love. That pulls you closer to God. It gets you along this journey. You can imagine how a monk's whole life is structured in this way. And this love for God, I'll mention, is obedience to the great law of God, the great law that Christ summarizes in two commandments, love God with your whole heart, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the love which pulls you along toward your goal of seeing God. So there's this kind of order of salvation, it's called, an order of salvation in Augustine. You start with faith, believing what you're told. You pray for grace. That leads to love. That leads ultimately to happiness, the ultimate happiness of seeing God. So you go from faith to love to ultimate happiness. And then comes a crucial moment, which not all medieval theologians agreed with. But Augustine came to the conclusion that even the initial faith is a gift of God. Even the initial choice to believe in God is a choice that's impossible without God's grace helping you. Now, Augustine insists, this is very important, that grace and free will are compatible. God's grace never takes away your free will. It helps your free will. It gives you what your free will is ultimately most longing for. But it does mean that free will by itself is not enough. So Augustine is what the philosophers call a compatibilist. He believes that God's grace, or even God's determining what you're going to choose, is compatible with your free will. Because God will give you the gift of faith, and you get the gift of faith. You believe because God chose to give you that gift. And he gives you that gift and you have that gift. You have faith because God chose to give you that gift. And that doesn't take away your free will, says Augustine. Not everyone agrees about that. Some people feel very threatened by this. Lots of medieval theologians said, wait a minute. It can't be that simple. Or maybe it's got to be more simple than that. Maybe our free will needs to be free from grace in order to choose for God. That's a road that Luther will firmly, firmly reject. Luther is a very big grace guy and doesn't really have much use for free will. So we'll talk about how that issue arises too, and how that plays out in the Middle Ages. But one more issue now about grace and free will. For Augustine, one of the reasons why we have to have free will is because we have to have merit. Only what we do by our own free will deserves praise or blame, condemnation or reward. So if we don't do something of our own free will, we can't be blamed for it, and we also can't be rewarded for it. And Augustine does believe that we merit some reward. There's all sorts of language of reward in the Bible, after all, that we are judged according to our works and rewarded according to our works. Augustine takes that quite straightforwardly. We do earn reward. Now,